Morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for our second service here at Trinity Covenant Church this morning, whether you are live streaming from home or watching later online or here with us at our church building. We have been thinking of the theme of together this past couple of weeks at the start of the new year, and today we're talking about caring together. And we wanted to start off by taking time to recognize and acknowledge many of those who have been providing care for many whose needs are often overwhelming, who are serving our community on the front lines. And we do recognize that there are many who serve on the front lines, including our educators and our teachers. This morning we want to focus a little bit on our healthcare workers, first responders, law enforcement. And so as we put this list together, we realize we have a lot of people serving on the front lines. And so we want to take a moment to recognize you, to express our appreciation and love, and we desire to care for you and love you as you care for others in our community. So can we take a moment to just appreciate all those that are serving on the front lines? And as you see these names, to shoot them a message, give them a call, appreciation, a little card, little gestures go a long way during this time where so many find themselves in tough places. So with that, can I say a prayer for all our frontline workers, and then we'll jump right in to the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this pandemic has stretched far too long, and we're almost a year now later from when everything started to lock down. And as we have kind of gotten into our routines to think about our families, there are many, especially those whose names we have just seen, serving in the front lines in healthcare, as first responders, as law enforcement. We want to pray for them, for protection. We want to pray for just power and strength, as I can't imagine a year later, the things that so many of them have experienced. Lord, would you provide the care, the love, and the healing deep within their souls that only you can do, as they in turn provide care for so many who are hurting during these tough times. So thank you for them. Protect them. We bless them through the power of prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, in a message that I've titled, Caring Together. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is God's word. James gives the early church instructions for what kind of body that they need to be. And whether it's the challenges that they face in the first century in the early church or us today fighting through a pandemic with all the challenges, we are reminded, first of all, that we are called to be healers in a wounded world. We just read in verses 13 and 14, is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Every church needs to make a conscious decision of what kind of community we are trying to build here, right here. Do we just get to know one another at a superficial level and then run home after our services? Because with time and as we get to know one another, as we begin to open up our hearts and our lives and become vulnerable, We have to make a decision of what kind of community we want to be. Will we be a community of people that gather together who have made it in life, been successful, have done great things? Or are we a community that is being made day by day for real life and mission for God's purposes? And often that is a messy endeavor and process. Are we being a community that has made it in life, or are we a community that is being made for the messiness of life? And James reminds us that we are primarily called to be the healers of God's grace and his love in a world that is deeply wounded. Whether it's the frontline workers that we just prayed for and recognize and so appreciate, or whether it's us in our daily lives and the people that we come into contact with every day, we are called to be healers, bringing the healing power of Christ into a world that is deeply wounded. I think the question we can ask ourselves, and hopefully this will help a little bit, is we have the choice to make. Are we going to be, if we use some naval imagery here, a cruise ship? Don't get me wrong. I would love to be in that cruise ship right now in warm weather, cruising the Caribbean with my family. That would be awesome. And many of us have been on a cruise in our lives. But the whole force that drives a cruise ship is keep the customers happy so they'll keep coming back and spending money, right? And the amenities, year after year, as new ships come out, becomes more and more over the top. Nowadays, they have go-karts, bumper cars. You can go skydiving. I'm not sure exactly how you do that from the ship, but skydiving. There's robotic bartenders. Mix my drink, sir. You can sea gaze from observation decks that hang over the edge of the ship. There are planetariums. There are massive slides, ice bars, snow rooms. For those that get bored, panic escape rooms. There's magic carpets. There's unique themed restaurants that cater to every whim and desire. That is the cruise ship mentality. And if we are not careful, as we forget about our call that God has for us as a church, every church will slip into that. Keep the customers happy will become our mantra. But that is not the purpose of the church. I like the illustration that church, God's kingdom, is more of a hospital ship. Let the USNS Mercy or the USNS Comfort, whether they're stationed in San Diego for the USNS Mercy or Norfolk, Virginia, USNS Comfort, each ship has 12 fully equipped operating rooms, a bed capacity of 1,000, digital radiological services, medical laboratories in it, full-service pharmacies, blood banks, medical equipment repair shops, prosthetics, physical therapy. These massive floating hospitals can sail into any port in the world and begin immediately providing the healing care that they are able to do, because that is its mission. The Department of Defense website says they have always remained powerful symbols of medical care and hope during the darkest of times. I love that picture, that the church needs to be more like a medical mission ship being deployed where the needs are greatest for those that are broken and wounded and hurting, to provide healing, comfort, and care, and then launching them back into mission versus a cruise ship just to keep the customers happy, a consumer mindset. Jesus reminds us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 31, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Lord, that is us. That is me. We would do well to be reminded that the gospel isn't for those whose lives are all put together, but rather for those whose lives are messy and imperfect, spend enough time with me, I spend enough time with you and with one another, and we will see how messy and imperfect we really are. Just a matter of time. We are no different than we find out in our communities and world those who are also struggling in their lives. And the church needs to function in that kind of way. We are called to bring healing, the healing power of Jesus Christ, into a world that is deeply wounded. Larry Crabb, Christian counselor and author, reminds us that each of us is wounded. For every one of us, ruthless honesty about what is happening inside of us will lead to brokenness. Broken people journey together with their wounds and worries and washouts visible, but are able to see beyond the brokenness to something alive and good, something whole. That's what I believe brings great renewal to a congregation. It's not just the number of souls saved, but once a person makes a decision to follow Christ, you see the transformation and the healing of the deep brokenness, the wounds, the pain, as God begins to remake them into something whole, beautiful, and experiencing the healing power of Jesus. Cruise ship or a hospital ship? Secondly, we are called to be encouragers in a weary world. We're called, first of all, to bring healing to a wounded world. Secondly, we're called to be encouragers in a weary world. And how we bring about that encouragement most powerfully is done as we dip into the power of prayer. The prayer offered, verse 15, in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord, not us, the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is mentioned 7 times in this passage. You have the praying individual, verse 13. You have praying church leaders, verses 14 and 15. You have ordinary friends that are praying, verse 16. And you have Elijah the prophet, verses 16 to 18. Jesus has always called his house a house of prayer for all nations. We are called to bring the encouraging power of Christ through prayer in particular. And we need to be reminded of how that is so needed in a world that is quite discouraged. Even recently, as Kathy and I have had a chance to visit with some of our church members, and even as pastors have been also visiting our frontline workers in their homes, whether it's just dropping off a gift or stepping inside for just a moment, is that simple, how can we pray for you? That brings not only our well wishes and our hearts to see them do well through these tough times, but to bring God's encouragement right into their hearts, their lives, their families. Prayer is a powerful weapon in the hands even of the humblest believer. You don't have to be an ordained minister or a superstar missionary or a Christian counselor or a teacher, but anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, not only may they be saved, but they can be used by God to bring and kind of encouragement that would dramatically change someone's life. I love what Henry Nouwen reminds us. A Christian community is therefore a healing community, not because wounds are cured and pains are alleviated, but because wounds and pains become openings or occasions for a new vision. That is the picture of what church needs to be. Community arises, he goes on, where the sharing of pain takes place, not as a stifling form of self-complaint, but as a recognition of God's saving promises. Even our recent key leaders meeting this past month, when I led our closing time, what would bring you great encouragement in your life personally, outside of ministry, outside of Trinity, outside of church, and to hear one by one as leaders became vulnerable and shared what would bring them great encouragement in their lives, and then for us to take time to acknowledge that, become vulnerable, and to share, and then to pray God's encouragement was a tremendous time as we were reminded of what we are called to bring the encouragement of God into a weary and tired world. Thirdly and finally, we are called to be pursuers in a wandering world. James ends this passage in verses 19 and 20. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We're talking not only of people that find themselves lost, no matter how wealthy, successful, healthy that they are, apart from Christ, the Bible describes us as lost. But even us, as brothers and sisters, can wander from the truth. We can get lost, and we need to be pursued. The church is always on a search and rescue mission because Jesus is on a search and rescue mission. When you open up the first pages of the Bible in the book of Genesis, the words that stand out to me the most that showcase the entire theme of the gospel story found from Genesis to Revelation are three words: where are you? You see, religion has that question being asked of us as we try to find God. But the gospel, the story of redemption, find in the pages of Scripture is God asking us that question, where are you? Because we have a God who is actively seeking and saving that which is lost. That is the difference between religion and the heart of Christianity. Where are you? And so often we get it backwards when we think about the story of the parable of the prodigal son. We think, oh, how wonderful that the son, after he got hungry eating food with the pigs, went back home. Oh, what a great repentance that he had. No, the hero of the story is the running father. While he was still a long way off, Luke 15, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. Throughout the Scriptures, from Old Testament to New Testament, we see the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, bleed for that which is lost. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen, John chapter 10. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. Who is there in your life that needs to be pursued? They need to be reminded that someone cares for them, that God cares for them, that we care for them, that they aren't forgotten, no matter how messy their lives have become, that someone is praying for them. Can I say a prayer for you? We're called to the ministry of healing. We're called to the ministry of encouragement. And we're called to the ministry of pursuing others who find themselves lost in their lives. And that is not an easy thing to do. Our culture says, spend time with those that will benefit you and advance your career and make you comfortable and bring you riches in your life. But the gospel says, seek and save those who are lost, not to any of your own benefit, but that they would experience the love of God in Christ. It's never our own effort, our own power, but it is always God's heart through the church. Ezekiel 34, we were reminded when he was so disappointed with the leadership of the nation of Israel, he finally comes out and says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. So many of us are here today because God sent a rescuer, a pursuer into our lives when we were lost. For me, it was my grandmother praying, crazy prayers in our prayer closet year after year for all of our grandchildren, both in Korea and in the United States, that they would come to know the love of Christ. It was my mom who, following her example, prayed so hard in our basement. When my Jewish friends would come over, they would say, "What is that bizarre sound coming from the basement?" I said, "It was our hurting, moaning dog." We didn't even have a dog, but I made it up. It was such an issue. She was crying out to God for her four children, that they would come to know Christ. And it was my crazy youth pastor that would literally chase me down around Chicago to bring me to church and to youth group to hear God's word. And it was during those years that I came to know him and committed my life to serve him in any way that he so chose. Who is there in your life that needs to be cared for, that needs to be pursued, to know that they aren't forgotten, that can experience God's pursuing love? And when we do that and we bring them to him, they will experience the care, the love, the healing, the encouragement, and the pursuing love that people who are hurting today so desperately need. We're reminded once again of Annie Johnstone Flint, who was orphaned and lost both her parents early in life, was fighting cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, had so much pain in her life and so much suffering, and she penned this prayer to God that became a famous hymn that we all know. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. His power has no boundary. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. The local church needs to be a spiritual workshop for those that are being made for the messiness of life. Cruise ship, hospital ship. Who can we share the caring love of Jesus Christ in our lives? You know, that list that you saw that we put together, we wanted to try to visit each of our frontline workers. And so this past week, the pastors took time, even through this Arctic blast, to do that. And we have gotten through almost an entire list, save just a few that we'll hit after service today. And to blast them with cards written by many of you, our children, our youth, our adults, to say, we appreciate you. We're so thankful for you. Thank you for caring for those in our community that are hurting. Teach us to care better for our workers, our friends. And so as we think about that, four last questions and we'll end. How have people shown you care in your life that so deeply touched you, moved you? Why is that? Secondly, why is caring for people so important today? And why must the Church of Jesus Christ excel in caring for others and do it well? And which of the three main truths speaks to you the most today? As we are called, first of all, to be healers in a wounded world, we're called to be encouragers in a weary world, and we are called to be pursuers in a wandering world. Do we do it as a cruise ship, or we do it as a hospital ship? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this time where many are hurting, we thank you for our frontline workers providing health, medical services, care in so many ways as first responders, as law enforcement. But it's not only our frontline workers that are in the business of caring well for others, but all of us have people around us, even our own families, our neighborhoods, our places of work. Would you allow us once again to be your hands and your feet to provide the care, the love, the prayer, the encouragement, the tangible love of Christ during a time where so many people are lost, discouraged, and tired. We pray that through each and every one of us, we'll ask the question, who can I care for today? I pray that Trinity Covenant Church will not become a cruise ship to keep consumers happy, but rather let us be a hospital ship on mission to bring the hope and the healing of the living Christ to a hurting world.